The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They're coming. Stay hidden, or we will not survive.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of Fan Critical.
Buongiorno.
As you can hear, me and Gareth are in Italy. No, that is a lie. We are in an Italian bar, and we have a very special edition of the podcast because myself and Gareth have been invited to the season finale of Obi-Wan. At a special Star Wars event.
We haven't been invited, have we?
Competition winners.
Well, don't lump me in. You're a competition
I'm a competition winner.
You entered a competition that was clearly designed for 12-year-olds and you won, so well done. And we'll put the drawing that you did up on
Patreon. Thanks. patreon.com/fancritical. So basically, before we go to the event, we're going to do a bit of a weird podcast today. We're going to have a discussion in the bar, which is what we're having now with this lovely music. So it's a bit rough and ready.
We have got some pizzas on the way.
We're going to talk from the cinema, pre and post.
Never during.
Pre and post the finale. And then we are also going to have John back in the studio to get his thoughts back in the UK on the finale as well. All in all, action-packed episode for you, just like we hope Kenobi is, the finale of Kenobi. Gareth, as a... the least passionate Star Wars person out of the three of us, me, John, and yourself, but still very much enjoy Star Wars content. Are you excited about this little escapade that me and you are about to embark on?
No, not really.
Oh, good.
No, I'm looking forward to it. To be honest, I didn't have any immediate plans to watch this series until you texted me and you were like, look at this drawing, what I've done.
It's well good in that.
It won a competition.
Yeah.
And you said that we could go and watch the last couple of episodes at the IMAX.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, all right, why not? So I spent the last couple of days catching up and watching it, and I've enjoyed it. It's been good fun. And I'm looking forward to watching two more episodes of it because it's fun. It's fun. You're right. I'm not sort of diehard Star Wars, but... When the mood strikes.
This is the thing about Disney's Star Wars, Gareth. I think it's been such a mixed bag. I think Mandalorian's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
And I really think that's helped with the whole brand thing, because I think after the sequel trilogy, there's a lot of vociferous fandom that was speaking out against it. And I will say that the TV stuff, and I've said this with John, it just suits the TV format better. Like, episodic.
Why is that?
I don't know.
But it just works for me. There's something sort of old school family trip to the cinema about it.
Yeah.
So it should work in that way. But
it should, but I think we're tired of the cinema experience with Star Wars. I know we're about to see Kenobi in a cinema experience, which is funny. But I mean, like, episodically, you get so much more depth from Ewan McGregor in this season. I've loved his performance. It's the darkest take on a Star Wars character that I've seen, like, in terms of the weight that he's carrying, the burden that he's carrying.
Yeah.
It kind of feels weird to see it in Star Wars. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, you've got like light side, dark side, and you've got conflict, but you've got Obi-Wan who is just wrestling with his past and his relationship with Anakin. It's like a love story. It's like a sort of a...
I hope that's how it ends.
Tragic... Yeah, really? John would like that.
Obi-Wan and...
It's a Shakespearean type like relationship, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very tragic. It's obviously just that guilt that's weighing him down, causing him to have his beard.
Yeah.
He looks good, I'll tell you what. He looks really good.
Yeah, he
looks too good. Because he's a lot younger than Obi-Wan Kenobi in...
This is the weird thing about the timeline, Gareth. Alec Guinness is actually 9 years after this.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so it's a bit weird.
That's not... Yeah, whereas in reality he's about 30 years older than Ewan McGregor is today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, so it's kind of weird. But I think he looks great. I think he sounds great. He sounds like Kenobi. He sounds like Alec Guinness. He did a lot of work getting the accent back. There's been a lot of coverage about that. And it's been fantastic to... see him reprise the role. And you know what's funny? I've been doing a Star Wars binge recently because I'm showing my partner Mel all of Star Wars, and we're on episode 2.
She's loving it.
She actually is, but she's a bit bored. But episode 2 at the moment, we're on the prequels. So we started with 4, 5, 6, and we've gone 1, 2, 3. Then we're going to do Kenobi, then Rogue One, then the sequel trilogy, and then Mandalorian after that. So we're in a bit of a binge, and I will tell you something right
just
now.
Just a quick question. What about, did you ever consider doing it all in chronological order?
No.
Like, I know with the films, that's the way, like, you're doing it the right way. But I just wonder on the possibilities that would open up with doing it all chronologically.
I know. We thought about it, but I said, no, I want you to have context of Vader and then where he comes from. Yeah. And then go into the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching it again, I will say the prequels, I'm starting to like them more and more over time.
You're creating a lot of enemies with this sort of chat, mate.
No, no.
Because you said it before.
I tell you now, the prequels are having a renaissance at the moment. And do you know why? Because one of the best things in the prequels is the dynamic between Obi-Wan and Anakin and McGregor's Obi-Wan. And that's why Kenobi... people are looking back at the prequels with fondness. Yes, Jar Jar Binks is trash. Yes, Attack of the Clones is a pretty trash film. But there are moments in there, especially in Revenge of the Sith, with the Anakin and Obi-Wan stuff, which is fantastic. Yes, the dialogue can be shit at times. But we have to remember, those films were made for children. I remember going to see Phantom Menace, and the power cut happened halfway through the film, and we had to go see it another day. And I remember being very young when I went to see that, and I was like, oh, and I was really into it.
And then when you got to see it the other day, you were really old.
Yeah, and I was really old. And, you know, it's just funny, like, I think this series, Kenobi, which has had its ups and downs, but I would say, you've not seen episode 5 yet, but this screening is episode 5 and 6. Mm. I've seen up to episode 5. I think there's some fantastic stuff in there. Yes, there's some things which are very Star Wars-y. And this is the thing that I want to address. It's like, people always have a go, like, oh, this is a silly plot hole. It's like, fuck off, man. It's Star Wars.
Just let it go, man.
Like, there's some stuff where I sit there and I hear criticisms online and in fucking Reddit threads. And I'm just like, guys, man, people are moving stuff around with the Force and shit. Like, just let it go.
Yeah.
Can we not just enjoy the
but
show?
It depends what your expectations are, doesn't it? Like, I don't know. For me... like, anything Star Wars that I watch now, I'm not going in thinking this is going to be a 5 blueberry, blow-my-mind piece of media.
Yeah.
Although I will say, Mandalorian was close to that, to be fair.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, when me and John reviewed Mandalorian Season 2, and the finale of Mandalorian Season 2, guess what? We gave it a 5.
Yeah.
Because it was unbelievable.
I think that's reasonable.
Spoiler, Luke, as you know. Yeah. Unbelievable.
But I think if you approach Star Wars... now as like some relatively family friendly fun, like,
yeah, with great moments,
it's absolutely great for that. And
I can't wait to show my little boy Star Wars.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Like, and I was sitting there the other day, it was on in the background and he was just chilling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, give it a couple of years, we are going, you know, it's some heavy stuff in there. There is some heavy stuff in Star Wars. Patricide, fucking, like, you know, light and the dark, and some of the dark side stuff is brutal. You know, if you read some of the extended canon stuff, ooh, it's crazy. you know, it is heavy for children, but you're right. I tear up watching the show, like shows, you know what I mean, where there's certain moments that happen. Like when Luke turned up at the end of Mandalorian Season 2,
yep.
Me and John were probably, I think we even said, I had a tear in my eye. I couldn't believe it. Like, you're seeing prime Luke Skywalker, something that we've not seen before. You know, at the end of Rogue One, we see prime Vader, and that's what I love about this show, at the moment, Kenobi. Disney have handled Vader's brutality brilliantly. He is fucking terrifying. Yeah. And you don't get that in the originals, because he was, you know, played by an old guy, and, you know, you got all this shit going on. The end of Rogue One, where he's just in the hallway ripping through people, that's pretty cool. Gaz, you've not seen it yet. There's a moment in Episode 5 where you watch it and you go, fuck me. He is so strong in the Force, and it's crazy. And in the finale, you know, you're seeing a prime Vader at the height of his dark side powers against a resurgent Obi-Wan, but still a Obi-Wan who is slightly disconnected from the Force.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be fantastic. But,
yeah.
You know...
Yeah. As of this point, I've seen first four episodes of Obi-Wan, and... You know, there was the fight scene.
I loved it in the darkness with the blue and the red. I thought cinematography wise, beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's good as a setup.
If that was the big fight,
the showdown.
Oh,
it would
my
have been
god!
Very
Obi Wan's fucking useless. Oh my god!
He just ran. Why? Stop running, mate.
I think Vader in that, like, people are like, oh, why didn't Vader just do that? I think he's toying with him. He's like, he wants him to be a bit more powerful in the Force before he takes him on, because he, not that he pities him, because he's raging at Obi-Wan. He blames Obi-Wan for everything. And the Vader comics really go through this, but he's fucking furious. Like, his level of anger and power in the dark side at this point is the highest it will ever be.
Yeah.
So I think he's toying with him. Like, he literally, that moment where he burns him, I was like, oh shit, I did not know about this. This is canon now.
Well,
is
this
it?
Is the thing. I was just trying to remember. Oh, pizza's here.
Thank you so much. All right, guys, pizza's here. We'll see you in the foyer. Yeah, sorry, we got interrupted by the pizza being brought to us, but we are now in the foyer for the special screening of Obi-Wan. Lots of costumes, isn't there, Gareth?
Too many costumes.
Yeah.
But plus side, we did get to see the real Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
So
true. It is actually. I'm actually very surprised. It's proper, well kitted out. We're talking giant lightsabers. Fantastic costumes. I'm sitting there thinking, I need to buy myself one of these costumes for cosplaying later this year or something, you know what I mean?
Yep. Or bedroom play.
Either.
Gareth, now it's partial to a stormtrooper.
That's the thing. You get a costume, you've got to be getting your money's worth, in my opinion. Because one time a year, two times a year, nah. Whack it out in the bedroom as well.
Oh, whack it out.
As I said, Mel is getting into Star Wars now, so it makes perfect sense.
She just likes anything that covers your face, so the stormtrooper helmet's perfect.
True that. That's good that. Also, a lot of lightsabers around, Gareth.
Oh, is that another
euphemism?
Yeah,
so,
another euphemism.
No, but we are generally. I have to say, you're impressed with this sort of situation here.
There are so many fucking Star Wars nerds. Yes.
Gareth isn't one. I sort of am one. So I'm sort of like, I am with these people, but Gareth is like, I think he's actually scared. Like, in the queue, he was like, don't let them come and talk to me. Don't let Luke Skywalker come talk to me.
Yeah, so I was terrified of fat 58-year-old Luke Skywalker coming.
Last Jedi Luke Skywalker, drinking milk from the teats of that weird alien. No, but it's pretty cool being here. It's actually quite a nice privilege to be at one of these events. And they're screening episode 5 and 6 on an IMAX screen So all I can say is I'm bloody excited, Gareth.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk to you guys when we get out of the film on the car journey back, and then me and John will be in the studio later to discuss some spoiler things. But for now, may the Force be with us all, and let's go. Let's go enjoy the finale of Obi-Wan.
And lightsaber up.
That's another awful
saying.
Awful.
It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground!
You underestimate my power!
Don't try it!
Hello there, and welcome back to this mishmash of a podcast. We are now currently on the road.
On the road again.
Yeah. There you go. Len's driving this time, so we're all fearing for our lives, aren't we, Len?
I am not a very good driver, it has to be said. However, I have improved since moving to Australia because you have to drive everywhere. But it used to be terrible. It took me 5 attempts at my driving test to pass. So, make of that what you will.
Yeah. You used to tell people 4, I remember. It was a lie. Terrible lie. Speaking of lies, Len's been telling bizarre lies today. He's been telling people that he's here on holiday for no reason. He's been telling people that his name just got drawn from a hat for this Star Wars thing.
Yeah, we...
But, you know, he lives here and he entered this competition wholeheartedly. Because he's a little Star Wars fanboy, which is fine. You've got to be proud of these things. And I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about our thoughts of the last sort of episode or two, maybe, of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I can see why people would be fanboys after that. It was good fun.
I was very impressed at the level of commitment from Disney hosting the event today. I'm talking some, like we said, there was crazy costumes, serious cosplaying costumes going on from Disney, and also we got shit tons of free merch. So we got a special edition poster, we got special 50th edition mint condition toys, we've got Kenobi and Leia.
You got Kenobi and I got Leia,
and I'm taking Leia and Kenobi, and we also got like Sonos vouchers, we got free booze, free food. It was pretty awesome, really. I thought it would just be, hey, come see it at the IMAX, but we actually got a fully fledged experience, special message from Ewan McGregor, all that sort of jazz. So it was an awesome experience, and to see Vader and Obi-Wan finally face off again after all those years on Mustafar, it was awesome to see it on an IMAX screen, because there is no experience like the IMAX experience. So
it was very good.
Yeah,
I always struggle in those situations because I don't know, like, it's easier for you because your eyesight is dulled and you don't see things very well. It's so bright. I had to keep closing my eyes.
See, I think it's dark, but obviously the light, I think that the contrast there with the lightsabers is pretty, that's what got you. The epileptic sort of nature of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But it's just huge. Like, the screen's just massive. It takes up your whole vision. I always think the screen looks kind of blurry sometimes because it's so fucking blown up.
Yeah.
But overall, like, sound and to see it, like, compared to watching it at home, it was unbelievable. And obviously surrounded by fucking dripping wet nerds for Star Wars, like, they were fucking hollering and doing the whole American thing, which I know a lot of our listeners are American, so respect to you, and I love that about the theatre experience in America. And we got a bit of that today with the fanboys and girls, and it, you know, there was a very eclectic mix is what I'll say there was there, Gareth.
Yeah, lots of cheering, lots of whooping. It was, you know, it was good to see people enjoying themselves. That's what it's all about, isn't it? I did resist the urge to sort of clap along with everyone, but
I clapped a few times.
But you clapped a few times. That's good. That's good. And that's, you know, people loved it. And I mean, you mentioned it, but that Darth Vader
Kenobi fight.
Yeah.
That was pretty special, actually. I have to admit, when Obi-Wan Kenobi sort of raised all the rocks and stuff behind him, that was fucking cool.
Turned the place to rubble, didn't he?
Turned it to rubble. Tore the place asunder. And then for Vader's mask to be cut off, cut in half, and his voice to be kind of, you know, a bit Anakin, a bit Darth Vader. That was very, very cool. Very well done.
Yeah, very well done.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the whole show has been building towards this conflict, which we've all been wanting.
Watch the road,
which we've all been wanting to see, and it didn't disappoint. The one criticism the show has had up to this point, and I'll get into this with John when I get back into the studio, but is the staging of action has been a bit pedestrian, is what people have said. Especially episode 3, where they faced off for the first time on that planet, amongst all like, the mining equipment. It looked cool, like colour wise and cinematography wise, but the staging wasn't great. I think the last two episodes have been fantastic. I think, you know, the Vader scene at the end of episode 5 is top notch, like proper Vader at the height of his powers. And then you've also got the showdown in this was captivating, mesmerizing, and like you said, Gareth, the end of it was with the mask half on and half off, I thought was fucking brilliant. Like, such a cool image.
Yeah.
Like, completely illuminated by the red and the blue of the lightsabers. I loved it. I loved every moment of it. I'll get into the sort of canon aspects with John when I get back in the studio and get his take on it too, but for me, it's a 5 blue at the moment, but I'll see how it is when I get back home. And not the whole series as a whole, but that episode's a 5 blue. The season as a whole, I'll do with John when we get back. But yeah, other than that, let's get back and let's put our feet up and record the rest of this podcast.
All right. Well, I'll send it over to you guys in the studio.
See you in the studio.
You are the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy this sin, not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. My brother Anakin! I loved you!
Hello, and yes, I am back in the studio. As you can hear, lovely, clean audio, no background noise at all. And I'm joined by our resident Star Wars expert, John McCann. Hello, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Don't call me the resident Star Wars expert. makes me sound like a loser, to be honest. I'm not having a go at Star Wars fans, but you know, let's just say I like watching Star Wars and have watched most of it. Definitely not an expert.
You would not have looked out of place last night amongst all of the characters that we saw, John.
Good.
I messaged you at this event because the costuming by Disney and also by the competition winners and media goers was fantastic. There were literally I can say this now because he's not here. He was genuinely rattled and bemused because at one point in the queue, a little Jawa came up to us, and the costume was fantastic. It actually looked like a Jawa, right? And it walked up to us and goes, "Oh, Diddy," and Gaz was like, "What the fuck is that?" I was like, "It's a Jawa, mate. Just fucking chill out, bro."
Does he not know what a fucking Jawa is?
You know what? It kind of annoyed me because I looked around at him at one point. We're in the cinema. We've just been given limited edition Obi-Wan toys, right? Yeah. A limited edition poster. We've just had a talk from like Disney senior execs and stuff. Everyone's fired up. I look at Gaz and he's just laughing. I was just like, come on, mate, get into this. Get into it, all right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very special experience, actually. And watching the episodes on the IMAX screen was awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's good.
I want to know what your take is on Obi-Wan as a season and as a finale. Can you please blueberry the finale first?
Yeah.
And then blueberry the season. And just let me know what you think about it, please. Because I am dying to know. Mm. We've held a lot of, I know a few things, but we've withheld a few of your opinions on the WhatsApp chat. So let's go. Talk to me, boy.
All right. So good finale. I'll give it that. It ends Ooh. ends on a high. I would say. I don't think they should do another season. That's my opinion. Even with the ending. Look, the fight scene delivered much better than their first encounter, where Obi-Wan is clearly not ready for it. He's weak. And
you weak, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, old and weak and faithless. But the imagery of that smashed Darth Vader mask, half Anakin, half Darth, awesome, really good,
unbelievable,
great sound mixing, sound editing to get to mix fucking Hayden Christensen's voice with James L. Jones. I mean, that is, yeah, that's tough. It's like mixing my voice with like Brad Pitt or something. You'd be like, sort of sounds all right. But they did a good job there, I have to say.
Yeah. Sexy. Yeah.
So I'll give the finale a four bloob. I'll tell you why I give it a four bloob. This Reva storyline, honestly, like just a waste of time. Might as well have just had adverts. I was so uninterested in that.
Yeah, I think cutting away from the fight to Reva is like, oh, just let's get back to the fight. But Star Wars has done this throughout its, you know, the way it's always been edited. It's like during Phantom Menace, it's like, let's cut away to the battle at the Trade Federation while, like, you know, Darth is fighting Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And I've just actually rewatched, I was saying earlier in the podcast, I'm doing a massive rewatch, one episode, end of episode two now, started on 4, 5, 6, doing this with my partner Mel, John, and now we're on two, and all of them, they cut away from the major battles, if it's Return, if it's Empire, they always cut away. It's a thing they do, yeah, but I guess
which is fine. I don't mind that. It's just, it's cutting away to something that I have no interest in.
Yeah.
I'm not having a go at the actress. I'm not having a go at her. No interest. That character is just so nothing for me. And it should be good. This is the problem that I have with a lot of the season, is that, a little bit like The Batman. You know, there's lots of things in here that I think should be good. I think conceptually, I don't mind it. I quite like the fact that we've got, you know, a youngling that's kind of a double agent. That's good stuff. The conflict there, the comparisons to even a young Anakin Skywalker, how he's so like young and has that pent up anger that eventually obviously makes him go to the dark side. But I just, I don't know what it is about her. She just annoys me every time she's on screen, which is probably a bit harsh, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not watching it for this other storyline. I don't care.
What would you give the season then as a whole, as a blueberry?
Would give the season a three bloob. So I recently finished watching WandaVision. And that for me is kind of like,
oh god!
No, okay. Look, I'm using the example of big franchises with TV series. And I watched it, and I was kind of like, they're blackmailing me to watch this because I have to watch this to know what's going on in Doctor mm-hmm. Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I was going to watch tonight, but I've done this podcast instead. I've still not seen it. That is the sort of series where I'd be like, yeah, like Free Bloob, like the concept that they go with at the start of that season. I'm kind of like, no, you know, I like it. It's different. And then it just ends up being another silly, what's the point? And it's the same with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm just like, ugh, Free Bloob, just boring, just goes nowhere. Who cares? Loki is the only one that I've actually, that's probably the highest that I've scored. That's the only one where I'd be like,
I agree.
That's worth a watch because it is, it gives Loki more screen time and he's deserved it from the off. And I guess if I was to turn around and talk about this series, I would probably just say, just Google the fight with Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. Just do that. Just YouTube it. That is enough.
I do.
That is
yeah.
enough. It's not like The Mandalorian is something where I'd five Bloob it and I'd be like, look, even if you don't like Star Wars, just give it a go because it is really good. So that's kind of where I stand. I wouldn't. I'd watch The Mandalorian again. I would not watch this again.
You'd watch the finale again, surely?
No, I'd just go straight to the fight. I think that's straight to the fight.
Okay. Well, yeah, I do think this season has had a huge problem with two storylines. So it's trying to tell the sort of romance, I would say, between Darth and Obi-Wan, because it feels like a relationship, you know, that's broken down. Yeah. And then it's trying to tell the story of the Inquisitors, which is actually an interesting story. Like, canonically, in the animated series and also in the comics, is really fascinating about how they take Force-sensitive Jedi or Force-sensitive individuals. They hunt them out, turn them to the dark side, but then sort of only train them a little bit. So they can never challenge the rule of two. Do you know what I mean? They're always, and as you see in episode 5, completely incomparable in terms of power. And also, as you see throughout the season, I thought, you know, Reva is essentially, she will struggle against, you know, even some armed forces that are against yep. her. Do you know what yep. I mean? She hasn't got the power.
She's invincible, though. You know?
Deflect. All,
she's invincible.
well, I couldn't believe she survived. Because I think that leads to a lot of, like, what the fuck questions. But I do think that this season, like, as much as I dislike that second storyline, I'll give the season a 4 blueberry because I think Ewan McGregor's interpretation of Obi-Wan and even the small glimpse that we see of Hayden Christensen as Darth is two of the greatest acting performances in Star Wars. And I think Ewan McGregor has no place. He's just such a great actor that it feels so alien to have such good acting in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm like watching it like, I'm like, this is the heaviest Star Wars has ever been. Like, Ewan McGregor, I think, looks so good as Obi-Wan, like, and talks just like Alec Guinness, and fucking just his melancholy throughout this season and his sort of redemption. I absolutely loved it. Just the close-up, the extreme close-ups on his face, like moments when, you know, Reva finds the message and you see that the disturbance in the Force, that sort of shit. I was just like, this is unbelievable acting. And, you know, in the finale, I'll give the finale a 5 blueberry, John, because I'll tell you something right now. The place in which I saw it, and we've talked about experiences when you see these things, yeah. The place in which I saw it, the auditorium was fucking hollering its head off when Obi-Wan Force levitates all those rocks. Mm. I was like, yeah, this is good. This is fucking good. And when Vader's mask is cut in half.
What's Disney's obsession with rocks? What's going on there?
Well, it's quite funny because obviously I was watching Empire and stuff recently, and you know, Yoda's training with rocks all the time.
But what is the obsession with it? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. It's just, well, they were on a rocky planet, and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But I thought the tears that rolled down Obi-Wan's face in that exchange, and we'll talk about that exchange now, it was absolutely beautiful. Right? Like, just... So, and the dialogue, man, like you've alluded to it, like with the cut-off mask when you see Christensen under there, and you see his Sith eyes, and you see... the voice and hear the voice flittering between Darth and Anakin, which is just the absolute conflict that is going on, you know, within him and goes on for fucking decades. It was just masterful, illuminated by, you know, the setting, which I thought was awesome. This moonlit sort of rock planet, with the, you know, the lightsabers just look so much better when it's dark. And you just see the red and the blue clashing. Yep. And Hayden's face was illuminated by the red and the blue simultaneously. Like, they kept flitting in and out of what was on his face, plus the voice and that conflict that's going on, that internal conflict behind, you know, and the voice. And he says, you didn't kill Anakin, Obi-Wan, I did. And that feeds beautifully into A New Hope when... Alec Guinness says, you know, your father was killed by Darth Vader. And that's, you know, and it's beautiful. It's just such a closure moment for Obi-Wan, the tears rolling down his face, and he just walks away. I was just like, this is fucking awesome. Like, it's one of those moments that you dream of, and we talked about this briefly over some beers. It's like a fever dream. You can't really believe it's happening. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of that thing where it feels like we don't need this. This is like fan fiction that I've dreamt up in my head.
I don't think that would...
There's a lot more nudity in my fan fiction. Naughty,
what's Jabba the Hutt doing here?
I don't even know what I just said. Yeah. Could be very sexy. In Hutties. But yeah, like, overall, I said this to you in message. Do you think that fight between Obi-Wan and Darth is definitively the best battle that we've had in Star Wars? It's tough to say, because I do think Duel of the Fates is incredible. But there's a couple of stupid moments in there. Obviously, they're at the height of their powers in Revenge, and they're fucking doing backflips on... little robots in lava and shit.
Yeah.
But this to me, because it's stripped back and is a bit more like that, you know, a bit more cinematic in a way.
I think
think it might be the best.
Yeah. Look, visually, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it cheats a little bit, obviously, with it being in the darkness and stuff. So that really, the illuminated lightsabers and stuff. So I think visually, it's always going to look amazing. And look, I mean, Darth Maul fighting off two Jedi with a double-ended lightsaber. And obviously he is extremely talented with his double-ended lightsaber. So I think, weirdly enough, my favourite duel... And it's only because of the ending and the swelling of the music is actually Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader's last fight, where Luke just loses
Revenge,
and just destroys him.
Yeah. It's good.
Just because of that kind of conflict and honestly, the score for that, Duel of the Fates is like an epic, but for me, that will always be my favourite. Maybe because I grew up on it, I don't know, but... Yeah,
that's right. I was saying to Gaz, I've actually got, after rewatching the prequels, actually decent, and I completely retract my sort of anger towards them. There's some really good moments in there. Yeah, there's some shit stuff, but like Jar Jar and fucking some of the stuff in Attack is really shit, but Revenge and Phantom have some really great moments in there, and they just need to be appreciated for kids' movies, which is what they are at that time, because they were bringing a whole new audience into the franchise, obviously. So, were you surprised at how, we talked about this briefly, but how Darth was defeated? Because, and I've talked to you about this, and to any listeners, I've said, like, go read the Vader comics, because, man, they pick up right after Revenge, the journey that he goes on to get his lightsaber, to build his base on Mustafar, and some of the Jedi that he hunts down and stuff.
Yeah.
He is fucking unstoppable. Like, and you see it in episode 5 when he pulls the spaceship with the Force and then rips it asunder and then absolutely destroys Reva just like she's a fucking toy. Mm. He is at the height of his powers here.
Yeah.
Fully, as much as we understand it, fully meditated within the dark side. Were you surprised that Obi-Wan was able to get the better of him?
No, because I knew he would beat him in their second duel. Mm. I was surprised that they did the whole masks thing. That surprised me. I've seen that visually before, but I mean, there's lots of things that.
Yep. Kylo. Happens with Kylo, doesn't it?
Maybe.
He gets scarred. He didn't have his mask on at the time, but he does get a slice across
the
face.
Yeah, he left it at home. It's like when you forget your PE kit. So yeah, he had to do the jewel in his pants and vest. I wasn't surprised that he beat him because I knew he would beat him. But visually, I'd imagine that scene in like a few years' time when you go to like comic cons and stuff like that, you'll get loads of like illustrations of Darth / Anakin's kind of severed mask face. Visually, that looked amazing.
Oh yeah, yep. I was surprised at the way the battle unfolded. To be honest with you, I did obviously know that Darth was going to lose, but I thought there'd be some serious peril in there for Obi-Wan. He's just untouchable, isn't he? He's just bloody untouchable, that boy.
He's good.
Just very good.
Yeah,
he's probably just my favourite character in. Especially now after the journey that he's been on this season, he's definitely had some of the most range, you know, that I've seen in Star Wars. I can't say how amazing it is to have Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, and he's fucking enjoying it, man. Like all the press and stuff that they've been doing, like Hayden and Ewan, they seem to be bloody love being back, because they talk about how the prequels were critically not very well acclaimed, but over time how they've sort of matured and people's perceptions of them have changed, and that has then in turn fed their gratitude to the fandom again. Like Hayden coming back at all is a crazy situation, because he was done with acting after the prequels, you know, basically. He was just like, it fucking ruined him, man. Like, do you know what I mean? And, you know, Ewan McGregor's career obviously still kicked on, but, you know, he received a lot of criticism. But I've always stood by the fact I felt he's probably the most perfectly cast individual in Star Wars, in my opinion.
And it's fascinating to think that on very few occasions do you get to see someone that is cast so well that over a span of, like, I mean, when was episode one? Like 97, 98, something like that?
25 years almost,
Yeah. So to think that he was in that, and he's a young Obi-Wan with a ridiculous ponytail, he's at the right age for all of it, and he's kind of now he's in that sort of prime. It's mental to see. But obviously, look, you'll see other films where it's like, oh, Indiana Jones is back. He can't even stand up without a fucking walker. What's going on here? Stop doing these films. But in this, it's like, all right, now he's kind of matured. This is what we always wanted to see. So he is definitely by far the highlight of the series. And look, I mean, it's named after him, for God's sake. So it should
be. Fucking name, isn't it? It's his fucking name.
It's his name.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about season two, because I woke up this morning very bleary-eyed recording this. Hayden and Ewan have both said that they want a season two. Now, with Reva being alive, that's such a loose end for the fucking show, like for the story of Luke. Like, no one else can know about Luke. You know what I mean? Can't have Reva. She's nowhere near strong enough to be fucking going around the galaxy and then getting caught by the Empire and getting interrogated. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not possible. So they've got a loose end there. I will say that there's some fantastic stuff with Obi-Wan and Darth Maul in the animated series, which could very much be done, because that is awesome. Like, they fight again on Tatooine.
Timeline-wise, it's now out, isn't it?
You know what? You're the res... Yeah.
I mean, technically, that would have happened.
You're the resident Star Wars expert. So,
well, yeah, because say that. so this series is set, what, like 10 years after Revenge of the Sith?
10 years and 10 years before A New Hope, is my understanding.
Because I read up on this when this series was first announced and they were talking about cutting out Darth Maul. I did read a bit saying that timeline wise, this is after the whole Darth Maul thing, which would actually really annoy me.
It feels like they could rework it. I mean, Disney always do that.
They wanted to, didn't
they? Sort of,
you know, Darth Maul was in, he's in Solo, so they were clearly going to use him. And when they first announced this series, everyone assumed they were going to use the whole animated series as the setting, but. Yeah, I mean, he was cut for some reason. You know, drugs, probably.
He was cut in half? He was cut in half, really, wouldn't he?
They cut him in half. Cut him in half. I agree. It's maybe they bottled it. Maybe they were like, we can't have a series one where it's Darth Maul and then have a series two when it's Darth Vader. Because everyone would just be like, can you just get to Darth Vader, please?
Yeah. My thing is, with the season two, is like, this has done such a nice job of filling a gap, which didn't need filling at all, but now sort of has filled it and it's tied a bow on it and it makes sense. Like, everything canonically makes sense now. Like, Leia and Obi-Wan, which we haven't touched on, I think now have a beautiful relationship, one I actually think is very special. I thought she was a fantastic addition, young Leia. I think the casting was very good. She's very charming, disarming, and... not really, you know, I thought she'd be more annoying when I first saw what was going on, but she just didn't annoy me. She just charmed me. I love the fact that they've got a little relationship now, and it gives such... I watched A New Hope recently, as I was saying, and it just gives a little bit of context to, you know, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, your only hope.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
It did feel like that is the last time that she would have seen him. That's how it. Yes, it didn't feel like it was going to be like, I'll ask you again for help in a year's time.
Like, exactly right, and they have that line in there where, you know, Obi-Wan says, if you need any more help, just let me know, which is kind of like they fit that in there to get to a season two. But I love the Leia and Obi-Wan stuff, man, and like that gives that such great context, that relationship, and then also him. Oh, I'll tell you what, John, I have to talk about this. In the auditorium, when he says hello there to Luke, oh my God.
I bet it went off.
Applause.
Yeah.
It went fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's fan service, you wouldn't believe the last episode.
Yeah. Oh my God. I turned to Gaz and went, I reckon John fucking hated that moment.
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't.
Oh, that's nice.
No, because that is what he would say. Like, that's fine.
Hello there.
Yeah.
I loved it. And
that was good.
Was clapping like a seal in the auditorium. So that was good. But I think like the relationship with Luke's now makes sense because he knows about who Ben Kenobi is in A New Hope. And it also, you can't have another showdown with Darth and Obi-Wan, because I'm telling you now, and I've been surprised but before, obviously, but they can't top what they just did. Like, there's no way. There's no way.
No.
Like, it just doesn't make, it doesn't make any sense. Like, in A New Hope, Darth even says, like, the last time we met, I was the student, you know, and you were the master. Now I'm the master. And that feeds into all the flashbacks we had with them fighting during the Clone Wars in this in the previous episode, where he said, you know, your need for victory blinds you, Anakin. Like, and it does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense. It all ties in canonically. They can't do a season two, even though I guarantee that after that finale, which is getting rave reviews, by the way, that Disney will be just like salivating at the fucking mouth, thinking, oh, the actors want to come back and, you know, everyone fucking loved that. Let's just do that again. It's like, no, you can't do that again. You got to just leave it now. It's beautiful.
Well, look, maybe they'll go, right, what it is let's have Obi-Wan meet a woman that doesn't die, and then she has his kid, and then we can just, in one of the, in the Mandalorian season four, Grogu can be learning alongside Obi-Wan's fucking grandson or something.
Oh my God.
Benji. Yeah.
Well,
Benji,
you know,
Kenobi.
That's a good name, that.
Yeah.
That's a good name, that. Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it past them because, you know, they do love a lovable, you know, childlike character like Leia, Grogu. But no, there's no Rey they'll do that. Remember when they thought Rey was going to be Obi-Wan's kid? That originally, you know, was actually a storyline, but they cut it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Better than Palpatine's, they, Jesus. Spoiler warning for anyone, you know, that's not just seen.
quick tangent. Like, I read stuff recently where Disney literally had no idea where that trilogy was going, and they just changed their mind every 5 minutes.
Yes.
There was a time when it was Obi-Wan's kid. There was a time when it was, you know, conceived like Anakin was out of nowhere. Even though canonically now it's believed that, and there is a reference to this in the comics, which you'll see, that Anakin was created by Palpatine. Is very interesting, and maybe warrants discussion in a future show. But anyway, we digress. Thanks, John. That was a fun sort of canonical Star Wars chat with you about this.
It's interesting that it was six episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the last time that I saw something that was as kind of big budget as this, and something that people have been looking forward to as long as this, that was six episodes. I mean, I might be wrong. It just feels like it was quite short for a series. But the right length, because fucking hell, they didn't have much else to cover, let's be honest. Before we go, I mean, we've got to talk about Qui-Gon. So, what did you make of that?
Yes. I said to Gaz before we even started the screening, I was like, Qui-Gon has to appear in this series because he keeps. That they were some of my favorite.
He started the series with it, didn't he? Started the series with the hello.
Yep.
Hello. Are you there? Leaving him voicemails and stuff. Yep.
And I love those scenes. I love those scenes, John, because they give that element of hopelessness to Obi-Wan. And it gives you the impression that he's not actually spoken to Qui-Gon. At the end of Revenge, you know, more training for you, have I, Obi-Wan? He says, you know,
I've got his
your
number.
Old master has come back. Yeah, got his number. You just need to learn how to use the phone, the Force phone. I was like, we have to see him. We have to see him. It was brilliant to get Liam Neeson back. There was a moment when he had his back to the screen, and I was like, he's got to turn around. Fuck me. If he doesn't turn around, I'm going to lose my fucking marbles. And he turned around, and the auditorium went fucking... They were like people foaming at the mouth. There was someone who fucking Tusken Raider jumped up and went, you know, fucking everyone's going crazy.
Wouldn't even surprise me. I was buzzing, mate. Yeah.
I was buzzing, mate.
What did you make of his dialogue? It's a bit random, yeah. Wasn't it?
It was a bit shit, but I think...
It was shit, okay. I was so blinded. I was really disappointed with the dialogue. It was piss poor.
I've been here the whole time. Come along. Yeah. We've got a long ways to go. I was like, it's a bit weird.
How are you going? I've not seen you in ages, see your mate. Hut. How you doing? Yeah. What's it like over there?
It was...
Like, unbelievable. Piss poor.
Unbelievable, but anyway, it was great to see him. You know, it was really good to see him, and I'm happy that we always knew
he was going to turn up. Like when the season started, everyone was like, "He's definitely turning up," and he was asked about it, and he was like, "I'm not that keen on doing TV," is what he said. He said I'd look at it if it was a film, but I'm not interested in doing TV. And as soon as he said that, you knew he was definitely going to make an appearance in this. But yeah, it was nice to see him. But yeah, the dialogue was rubbish. It was like a comedy for some reason. It was bizarre, really bizarre.
Well, John, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning. Thanks for giving me your resident Star Wars expert take on this. listeners, you can write John at imafuckingnerd.com and he will reply to you. Mm. Yeah?
So. Yeah, you email that email address with all your abuse. You go for it.
All right, mate, cheers. And I'm sure we're going to do Mando season 3, you know,
100%
imminent. It's very close. So and listeners, if you haven't seen Book of Boba Fett, FYI, that's Mando season 2.5. you need to watch it, so go watch it now and then listen to our review. Okay. All right, thanks John, and may the cheers, force mate. Be with you. Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye.